All right, let's open up with prayer. Father God, we just come to you this morning just thankful for this beautiful day that we have to enjoy and just realizing that it is just a reflection of your glory. And Lord, but you are really the beautiful one, even as we see just a glimpse of what you're like. You're perfect in every way. Your character has no flaws. You are in no need of anything. So we just recognize you this morning. We adore you. We worship you, even in this time of study. And so we just ask for our minds to be opened, even as we study, as to what would cause us to have greater devotion to you, and that we would develop habits, Lord, that lead to a life that is pleasing to you. So we just pray that you guide this discussion this morning, that you would just help my thoughts to be clear. And as we just look at what Jerry has in this book this morning. So we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, come on in. It's time for a pop test, pop quiz. So we're going to start that way. But we're just, I don't know if y'all really kind of see this, but out of Colossians, when we were going, you know, through this little section of Scripture in chapter 3, we just think back to the book that Jerry wrote on the pursuit of holiness. And that book is really a lot about putting off the old man. And the practice of godliness is really about putting on the new, or putting on the character of God. So just highlighted a few things here in Colossians 3, 8 through 14, where it says, "But now you must put them all away." Well, what are we to put away? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. You don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, right? We don't want to practice those things, but we want to put on the things that and now have put on the new self, which is being renewed. How is it being renewed? In knowledge after the image of its creator. In this, there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. And then now we're going to get to the putting on. We're going to practice these things. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. We're going to bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, what are we to do when we have a complaint? We're to forgive each other, just like the Lord has forgiven you. So you also must forgive. But above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. We just think that that's what I know. What a list, man. You just look at that and you say, my goodness, you realize how far you have to go. But this is really the idea of this book, is we're going to put on the new practices. And, you know, also keeping in mind that, hey, there's probably some things up here that I still need to put off, right? I need to work on that. So pop quiz this morning, let's see where you're at. What is godliness? We'll start with that.
Let's do the Christian thing. The first will be last, and last. You
came in
here last.
Wow, wow, Becky. What is godliness? And of course, not everybody at once.
Devotion to God that results in a life that's pleasing to Him.
Yes. Okay. What are the marks of a godly person?
Dying to self, being
sorry
about others.
Yes.
Humility.
Humility.
Character.
Okay. What kind of character?
Godly.
Okay. Specifically, what kind of godly character? We're going to keep drilling.
Oh, we're still waiting for me.
Yes.
I'm just thinking fruits of the Spirit.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Others, please. Good morning.
what Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
People that keep and follow God's commands, right? Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yes. Jeff? I could see you were about to lay one out. Well, then, how does a person become godly?
By doing everything we just mentioned.
Yeah, but isn't it more than just doing?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we're learning? That it's a bit more than doing, right? Because can somebody do some of those? Can they have some of that care? Have you ever met a person that's not... a Christian and they're kind? Yes. So how is it more then?
It's cultivating the right heart attitude.
Yes. Yes. Very good, Keith. Yep. Look at that. She pointed to him. What have you learned so far with what Keith said? What have you learned so far about the importance of first building a foundation that supports godly character? And why is this so important? Yeah, you weren't expecting that one, were you?
Look at what God said multiple times in the Old Testament. The people kept offering sacrifices and sacrifices. It's like, I'm not concerned with your sacrifice. I'm concerned with your heart.
Yes.
And so that's at the root. So
you got to draw closer to the Lord, and in order to draw closer to Him, you got to know Him. And in order to know Him, you got to spend time with Him, and you got to spend time in the Word. I mean, I'm reading a book where he says, we want God to talk to us audibly. In order to talk to you, you got to understand His language, and His language is not, hey, I want you to do this. The Word, you got to know the Word, and when you read the Word, it will talk to you.
Yeah, the talking that we like to do is we like to bring out a list of things that we need or want. That's the kind of conversation we like to have. Jack, you had a comment, I think.
I was just going to say it. My opinion is the same as the man who mentioned attitude, because everything flows from that. Where our attitude is, everything reflects that.
Does.
So
yes.
If we have a humble attitude, trusting God attitude, everything, all our actions flow from that.
Yeah, he makes, yes, Jeff, go ahead.
I think there's one thing in my mind that we need to couple with all this is the action, because like monks have the right attitude. Monks have this understanding, all that, but they're in that monastic sense. They're in the isolation, and it's all about me and the Lord. But I think, in my opinion, true Christianity and the gospel is—it's your relationship with the Lord, but that's expressed out, horizontally with other people.
Yes, you can't really have one without the other, right?
It's like him and him.
Not in it be pleasing to God, right? Yes.
When you're talking about how do you become godly and what have you learned so far, the thing that I've learned is that the Bible is about the only place you're going to find truth anymore. And you've got to believe the Word.
Yes.
If you don't believe the Word, you have no foundation.
Right. Well, we're definitely going to, as this lesson develops, and probably might be next week before we really get into that, but we're going to get down into how important the Word is in our growth, our spiritual growth, but those are great. What person in the Bible, or perhaps just in your life that you know, have helped you to understand godliness? Yes, ma'am.
For many, many years, I wish he was here to hear it. He's still alive, but having a father who was a believer all my life, I've seen in comparison to other people who didn't, what a gift that was, because, he was in control of me. He was over me. I was under him, but he had godly character. He did discipline, but he did love, all of those things. And so now, at my age now, I can still always get a right picture of the Lord, right? When I'm wanting to come back to Him, because my earthly father mimicked that for me.
Excellent. Man, that's great.
Your mother, Grand Mac, she is just a very kind, soft-spoken, gentle, never says anything ugly about anyone, and people see, she doesn't have to say anything, people just see it in her, you know? So that's always been my example.
Yeah.
Look at my father-in-law, Heather's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he, in a lot of different ways, but he, right before we got married, he said, you know, you're the son that I never had.
No, wow.
And so he kind of raised me, too, in a way. He went, you know, and that, the love and discipline, I'm always underneath my father-in-law. And so he, in that capacity, at that appropriate age, there's the love and discipline as well.
Yeah, Ken's a very spiritual guy, and you see that work out in his life. I enjoy getting to know him better. He's an awesome guy. Well, continuing on, is what does it mean to be devoted to God? What are you looking in your book for?
Oh,
I'm kidding.
Clearly, it wasn't you that showed me God in there.
Just kidding. I'm going to scrub that. Oh, goodness.
Put God first.
Okay, put God first.
Spending time and cultivating that relationship.
Yes.
Endurance.
Which kind of goes along with
that. Yeah, it's in with that question really got to, you know, what we Keith said and some others really about, you know, our inner attitude of being devoted to God. What biblical character did Jerry use an example of someone who was devoted to God? Enoch, right? And what were the two things that we've just been discussing right now that he said about him that reflected, you know, exemplified godliness? He said that he walked with God, right? And he pleased God, exactly. He had this relationship with God, and then that resulted in actions that were pleasing to God. Right? So, what are the three elements that help develop an attitude in a believer where they can become more devoted to God?
Fear of God.
Fear of God, yes.
Love.
The love of God.
Desire.
And desire, yes. And how do you see that these three work together to shape our devotion to God? There they are. How do they work together? This is really important. You know, Jeff covered this. He did a good job on it. But look, you don't want to miss this because this is the process of how you can develop greater devotion to God. So you have the fear of God, and the better you understand who God is, the more fear and respect and awe of him. In fact, you would think as you better understand God and his holiness, you think it would cause you to want to kind of remove yourself a bit because you're like, man, I don't need to be in that presence, right? Well, thank goodness that in the Word of God, he balances that with the love of God because that draws us back in. And so as we get to know him better and better, we study and spend time and get to know who he is, we're in awe of him, but we experience his great love for us. And the better we understand that, the more desire it creates for us to want to live a life that's pleasing to him, right? So moving into chapter 3 now, which is train yourself to be godly. So 1 Timothy 4:7 says, have nothing to do. This was the focus verse of the chapter. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, but rather train yourselves to be godly. Right? So let's just spend a little time talking about the example of question 1 that he gave. And let's think about an athlete. And what does an athlete do to train to get to the highest level of competition? How many athletes we got in here? right? You've at least watched the Olympics, right? You've seen the backstories on the people that compete, right? So what do you think of when you think of one of these highly, highly trained athletes? What do they do?
They have a coach.
They have a coach, all right.
They work constantly.
They work constantly at it, right?
Focus. Yes.
They're extremely focused and disciplined, aren't they?
Yeah, their whole life is oriented around that goal. I mean, their schedule, everything they do, their diet. Yeah, it's completely.
It is. It's just, there's just almost nothing that gets in the way of that, right?
It consumes them.
It consumes them. Yeah. What else? Any other ones? Diet? What about the fact that they might spend some time working out for strength, right? And to protect their body as well. Some of that strength would help to protect them. My son was a collegiate athlete. He was a pitcher. And let me tell you, a form, when you look at a pitcher, is very, very important. The technique that you use. So we would spend so much time on that. I mean, just your body is moving very quickly, and you got to get all of that body in time perfectly. So, man, he would spend a lot of time on that. How about plyometrics? That's a big part of being an athlete, too. It develops quickness in your body and explosiveness. It's not a lot of fun. You know, it might be like you'd have a box and you'd jump up on a box, down into a squat, jump off the box, right back down into a squat, right? And, or it might be, you see a football player that has these ropes and they're working their feet in those ropes for quickness, right? Or agility so that they're able to do whatever. What about rest? How important is rest? That's kind of important too. Coaching, to Jack's point. Man, sometimes you got to have some equipment to help you along the way, right? And what about this one? Practice. Man, lots and lots of practice to the point it consumes, you know, what you're doing there. So, what do you think are the essentials? This is the question that he got to on number one. What do you think and consider to be the essential elements of training oneself in godliness?
You mentioned the first one is personal responsibility.
Okay, all right.
But looking at that list,
yes,
I think mental preparedness should be at the very top, because unless you have that,
yeah,
nothing else is going to line up.
I mean, they even have their own psychologist, right, to help them with the mental aspect of preparing themselves. But you have to prepare for what you're going to go through, because it's intense.
Well, they also have chaplains on professional teams. So
right,
that to me is a part of training oneself, is having a mentor, having kind of not competition, so to speak, but peer group that you can elevate to.
Yes. You know? Yes. Bernie.
As an athlete, there's a certain talent, okay, you have before you do all those things. But godliness, without prayer, you can't receive godliness, because who is granting you the godliness? You can train all your life to be godly and you never get it.
Exactly.
Because it's given to you by him through prayer, and you put your heart before him, and then he's doing the doing, so to speak.
Exactly. Exactly. He's the one with talent, Bernie. He's the one with the talent. Absolutely.
Diet up there.
Yes. And, yes.
Know, spiritually, we have to feed on God's word.
Yes.
We have
to
spend the time with him, put in the commitment with him.
Exactly. Yes. Good point, Cindy. Others that you can think that kind of might, you know, help think about some elements.
To go with the word of God, the Holy Spirit is actually the coach.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Well, the word train, I can't go back that way, but in that verse in Timothy, the word train, and this is the transliteration. Man, you put the Greek word up there, you go, what in the world is that? But this is kind of what that Greek word sounds right. Gymnasio. It means to train. I found this very interesting. I had to do a little bit more study on this. To train naked or wearing a loincloth. I found that to be bizarre when I first started studying it. Properly naked or lightly clad. Well, it's because that's how the Greek athletes were adorned. And women weren't allowed in their athletic events. So, but to train with one's full effort, with complete physical, emotional force, like when working out intensely in a gymnasium. This is the root word that you see right here, and down here at the bottom is the word that's used in that verse. To exert intensely like a pro athlete presumes full discipline necessary to be in top working condition, full agility, skill, endurance. And how is it gained? From constant, rigorous training or exercise. It conveys acquiring proficiency through practice, regular exercise with graduated resistance. The physical element is also included with the spiritual of being in God's gymnasium, right? So this is what Paul is trying to get across to us in 1 Timothy 4:7, is that we are, and to your point, Becky, whose responsibility is it to train? It's personal. It's personal, right? He gives that responsibility to us. But to Bernie's point, Bernie, right on point, brother. Somebody will look up 1 Corinthians 3. You see, I have some verses listed here, so if y'all want to just grab those, maybe have them as we go through, it would help with our time. But look, the growth only comes from walking with God and in the power of His Spirit. Otherwise, it's just some legalistic things, you know, and so it has to be God that gives us the growth. Somebody that has that, please.
What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth.
Yeah, so there was a little tension in there about who your favorite preacher was, right? Your favorite minister. And he's letting them know, like, hey, that doesn't matter, because what matters is you hear the word of God correctly. And what the agent of growth is going to be through the power of God's Spirit. It's God that gives that. And so what is some other, characteristics that you see that translated over? Any other ones that you could think of maybe? He listed three here, right? He listed the object of the training, which is spiritual growth. Right? But what are there any other ones that you can think of? Maybe not. Let's look at the idea of spiritual growth, because we're going to dive into God's word for this growth that we're looking for in terms of our devotion. 1 Corinthians tells us, hey, there's some things that we might want to be careful about as we do that. So somebody, 1 Corinthians, who has that, 8, 1 through 3.
Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him.
What do you see there, Keith, that we might want to be cautious about as we understand the fear of God more and even the love of God? More, what can there be a tendency to do?
Become prideful.
Become prideful, right? Become prideful. Unfortunately, I didn't get the page in the new book, but page 38.
I think it's on 25.
It's on 25, it is. Please, let me see which. That's on 25 of yours. I don't like that we don't all have the same book. That's, Yeah, he described that even Timothy, right? If you look in where it says, even though he was an experienced, well-qualified Christian minister, Timothy still needed to grow in the essential areas of godliness, the fear of God, the comprehension of the love of God, and the desire for the presence and fellowship of God. There's always this need, no matter. It's never fully attainable, right? We're always going to be striving to seek it, to get to know God better. And we're always going to have this sin issue that we're dealing with. Well, there were some minimum characteristics that he said that are required. These are just a few, but what do you think the characteristics are of a person that's devoted to God and looking for spiritual growth? Tying back even to all of the things that we listed, even about an athlete and how that might apply over. What must you be? You got to be committed, right? It takes tremendous commitment. So, what does commitment look like in your life? He mentioned about the price that you have to pay to be committed, right? So, what does commitment look like in your life? In your spiritual walk with God? Pardon me?
Doing the things that when no one else is looking. It's committed.
Yes. Okay.
Doing the right thing when your heart's not in it. Sometimes it's just the duty of to get you through.
Yeah.
When your heart catches up.
What about, let me drill down into it just a little bit. What about, just say like your commitment to the Word of God?
Daily.
What does that look? Yeah, what does that look like, Jamie?
You spend time in the Word of God daily.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that just comes natural, right? It's just real easy to do, right?
Sometimes
it is,
yeah.
Right? But sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
But our devotion to God is only going to grow by the commitment that we make, and He's going to give some more as we go forward next week. Not just the Word of God, but prayer, asking, just like CF was talking about this morning about prayer, that you know, that it should be about spiritual growth. So, look, what gets in the way? What are the things that get in the way of that commitment?
Busyness.
Right?
Like,
yes,
when
please.
You think of commitment in a marriage, right?
It's right.
Or any relationship. Sometimes you have to do the things even when you're not feeling it.
Yes.
Like, you know, so sometimes I feel like hugging my husband because I just emotionally feel like it. Other times I think I could really care less if they're here, but I'm gonna, because I want to sustain my marriage, right? I go,
yes.
I'm going to go give you a hug, right? You know, so, I mean, I'm just being that, you know, that extreme,
yeah.
But I feel like that about reading the Word daily and praying. I mean, there's times when I'm really into it and I'm like, man, if I had 4 more hours, I'd keep reading. Or if I had all day, I'd pray all day on my knees. And then there's other days where I'm like, okay, dear God. You know, and it's
yes.
just, but I'm committed to say I will pray every day.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. I mean, look, Americans are the busiest people across the globe. I don't know what how we think that is so wise, but we're on the move and we don't have time that we ought to set aside, be committed to that at the highest level, like an athlete would to
and
be.
Sometimes it's not even time, it's just that we don't want to do
just,
it.
Yeah.
Just
have a heart that
yeah,
doesn't
okay.
want to do it. Right on. No, it is. It is. That's why it's called a discipline. And you think about an athlete, how that translates over, that you think an athlete always wants to go work out, always wants to do some fun things like box jumps, you know, or sprints or weight training or just the monotonous working on your form day after day. I mean, they talk about Justin Verlander and what he does in between starts to get himself ready for what? Like 2 or 3 hours of performance. I mean, he builds. It's just this buildup all the way to that. It's because he is committed. He listed some verses that you see that are right here. Psalm, Jeremiah, Philippians, and 2 Peter. And that describe commitment, that verses that were listed. Which of those was the most meaningful to you and helped you better maybe have an understanding of the commitment that God is calling us to? And so you can, anybody that has those, we can read them and just discuss them just a bit to see.
I have some.
Okay.
And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart.
Yeah. Okay. That's a really simple verse, right? He says, seek. And how much seeking does it take to find him?
All your heart.
All of your heart. Yeah. Now, I just want everybody to raise their hand. It says, that's what I'm doing. Yeah. I'm all my heart. I got it. You know, that's his command for us to love him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength. Man, what a challenge that is. You know, yes, Jack.
You know, I think part of that is to never doubt God's word. If you don't understand it at the time, just a wise man told me, you're not going to understand everything. Just understand that God don't want to reveal it to you yet, you know.
Yes.
But don't doubt it.
Yes.
I found that very helpful.
Yes. The song, verse from Psalm.
You God are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water.
Like a dry land where there's no water. Like you know, where you'd be searching for water earnestly.
Whole being.
Just whole being. Yeah. That is a fully committed person. They're fully committed to seek and to understand and know the fear of God better, the love of God better, that would create a greater desire for him. How about Philippians 3:12?
I have that.
Please.
I did. It says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid by Christ Jesus.
What do you see about commitment in there?
Pressing
on. That just means like, man, I'm never quitting that search, right? So, page 36 in the book, 26 on the new, there was...
I know.
Yeah. I may need to do that. I may need to do that because I could do that. Well, look, one of the other characteristics that are needed is you have to have a coach. You have to have a helper. And that's what Bernie was speaking to earlier. What helper has God given us on this journey? The Holy Spirit, right? And what are some of the ways that the Spirit of God helps us? Well, he guides us. Somebody read John 16:13. I hope you help with that, Rachel.
The Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come.
It is, isn't it? I mean, you know, Bernie, what you were saying a while ago, you know, just we make this commitment, but God gives us everything that we need, and he's given us a coach. You know how important a coach is when you're training to be a top-level athlete? I mean, you can't always see yourself and how your body is performing, but a coach can. And God has given us his Spirit and his word to guide us and to teach us. John 14:26. Who has that?
I do.
Please.
The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you.
Right. He was walking with his disciples there. And he said, I'm going to teach you and I'm going to remind you. But God teaches us through his word and through his Spirit. But look, this is the thing that is equally important. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that it is that we will gain power from God. Somebody please to read that.
I got it.
Thanks.
For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control.
Man, that is or discipline. A disciplined mind is that last section, right? He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. This spirit that lives in us gives us power. Power to be acting in a way that is godly,
and
right?
Power to be brave.
Power to be brave, not fearful.
Not
right?
fearful of our fear. What's going to happen to me next? And, you know, that fearful of the future.
Look, our tendency is to be self-reliant, self-dependent. We trust ourselves. And what that trust in ourselves leads to a lot of fear, because the results of trusting yourself do not work out very well.
The First Corinthians, that's kind of the point of that. It's, I follow this guy, I follow this guy.
Right.
He's like, you know what? Y'all are all equal. Y'all are all nothing. You know what I mean? Without the Lord. And so we don't. We're not.
Yes. And look, we are committed. God has given us a helper. And in that process, what that does is produces the fruit or the traits that we're going to be studying, right? So, the other, and he said these are irreducible characteristics as well. Yes, ma'am.
I'll just say, I was going to add one to that list.
Yes, please.
The Holy Spirit does, you know, it's probably my favorite verse, Romans 8:26. Says that even when we don't know how to pray as we should,
yes,
the Spirit intercedes for us, you know, with groanings too deep for words. And it says he prays according to the will of God. So I know that's a pretty all-inclusive list, but along with all those things, like, you know, if I had a trainer or a coach, they're still not praying for me. Like, even, you
right.
know, when we're not praying how we should.
Yes.
I just love that that's another aspect.
Look, these are just
does.
A few. Yes. What about the fact that the Spirit comforts us? That's really, he said, I'm going to send another comforter, another helper, you know. So there's the ministry of the Holy Spirit is just, it's huge, you know. But we're committed. It's helpful to have a coach. We have that helper that's the Holy Spirit. But we don't want to miss this, of course. Practice, 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 right? We remember that first verse that we had up here? It talked about that, hey, we had all these things that we were doing, anger, malice. We were practicing those. Well, God wants us to practice a different thing. And it's these items right here, right? And so we are to practice and practice and practice. And what that'll bring out is the fruit of the Spirit. And it'll bring, it brings contentment and joy into your life. And it makes your relationships different with others, because you're not twisted up worrying about straightening other people out. You know? You ever had any problem with that?
And you know, the language of the verses seem to make a distinction between there's you, who you are, and then there's you on who you choose to be and how you choose to be, right? You can ditch the old man and put on the new. So it's up to you. And it's, it goes back to that personal responsibility. You know, it's not all just God's here for me kind of thing. We have a responsibility.
Well, we do. And what is the tendency with the responsibility part? We say, well, it's my pastor's job, you know, to train me, right? Or it's my Sunday school teacher, or it's some things that I listen to online. But this training that is being discussed in here is personal training. It is that you are involved. You are the one that's digging in the Word. You are the one that is spending time in prayer. And it is quite a discipline. And it is a sacrifice. The price to pay for that sacrifice.
And all of that is good, and the practice is important. But then at some point, we have to apply it.
Right.
We have to get out and perform. We have to...
I think that's really the word that he's getting at, is that you have... It's not enough to just put God's word into your mind, right? It's not enough to just spend time in prayer. You have to apply the word of God to your life. Or it, let me tell you, if you don't apply it, you're going to produce a fruit, but it's going to be the fruit that's listed above that fruit right there, the works of the flesh, right? You have to apply it. You have to put it down into motion. And
wouldn't that be practicing it?
It would be. It would be. It'd be practicing it. I wanted to see, there was a little...
What page?
It's page 38 or 26, I think, in yours. But he says, this is the practice of godliness. It is not some, how do you say that, Jeff? Ethereal?
I don't know where you're at.
Exercise, or it really means a spiritual, kind of lofty, it's not just some lofty idea. Instead, it is practical, down to earth, and even a bit grubby at times as the Holy Spirit works on us, but it is always rewarding as we see the Spirit transforming us more and more into godly people. Let me tell you, that grubby part means that you're going to seek to take on this character of God. You're going to, let's just take one of them, for example, humility. And then God is going to show you immediately when you go to working on that, and you're going to, your pride's going to come out, and then it's going to get kind of nasty, and you're going to go, wow, how in the world? But that is the grubby process that God gives us to see ourselves. And as we do, we say, oh, Lord, that's not how I want to be. I need to get out verses again on humility. And I need to look at those ones about the humility of Christ. And I maybe need to have that on my mirror at home. Or I might need to carry that in my truck, a few of those. And maybe it needs to go right there where my speedometer is so that I'm seeing that verse all day long. Perhaps I ought to memorize that verse. And I ought to be rolling it around asking God all day long to show me where I'm lacking. Right? That's what it means to practice, or Cindy, to apply it. Right? It means that the Word of God is going to take root, and it's going to get down, and it's going to get a little grubby, right? So next week we're going to talk about the importance of the Word of God and prayer and a quiet time, or seeking a deeper devotion with God, and how we might construct a quiet time. And then, you know, questions like, what's the best time for a quiet time? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But it's important that you have one. For some people, it's the morning. I don't know about y'all. I'm a morning person. I like the mornings. I just wake up whistling, and I'm happy. My wife doesn't appreciate that. She's like, what's all that whistling about? Some people come alive as the day goes on, and they're night owls, you know, and that's where they go. So, look, any final comments as we think about training and what it means to train ourselves unto godliness?
I like to bring things practical into what's yes. going on in my everyday day.
Yes, please.
When we say practice, practice was, are things like are small. Like normally somebody says something but you don't react,
mm-hmm.
right? But that's a practice, because now you're learning not to react to things that don't matter. Now you're getting prepared for, if I'm saying this correct, right, for that major, I won't say it's a test, but, you know, something happens in your life that's bigger than all those little ones that you saw, you know, you realize, okay, wait a minute. I've been working on all this and I've gotten better. Like with me, meeting coworkers and people that I do business with. At first, I would not mention Christ at all, because I was afraid of losing their work.
Right.
Then, as time going on, I started dabbling with the conversation. I let them bring it up first, and then I would dabble in. Wait. And it was practice. It was me practicing to feel, because I was all my concern really wasn't losing their work now at the moment. It was, how do I answer a question when they hit me with, you know,
yeah.
I feel like I have to have all the answers right there in front of me. And then I realized, you know, as I grew, I realized I don't have to have all the answers. The Spirit finds those answers come to me because of all the practicing I've done.
Exactly.
Does that make
sense? It does. That look, over time, the Word of God has an impact on your life. We'll learn it. Those are, he talks about five different ways that you input the Word of God into your life. And look, it is surprising when you wash your mind constantly with the Word of God, what God gives you as a recall you know, to in ministry. But I think one of the big points he's getting to right here is not this growth, this what we're talking about here is not really about ministry. It's about training ourselves to be more godly. And a natural result of that, what you're talking about, is that it will lead to ministry opportunities. But he's saying, hey, train yourself unto this. Be totally committed. Be committed to the macro. And look, I'm not leaving you out there on your own. I've given you the best helper you could ever have. But you're going to have to put it into practice. For there to be any spiritual growth, you're going to have to apply it. And so then comes a more godly attitude in our lives and more godly behavior in how we conduct ourselves, our conduct. Right? Any other final comments? We'll close. Yes?
I would just say, you know, a person could have the best speech and witness that way that there is, but if behavior is not godly, it doesn't mean much.
It doesn't mean much, does it?
No.
No. People see how you behave, and it just doesn't add up. And who sees that more than our children when we're raising them up? They get a good glimpse of what we're like, right? Our wife, co-workers sometimes. Those closest relationships is where the rubber meets the road. Yes, sir?
You mentioned children. The Lord has given us kids to educate us and raise us in a way I never really thought, you know, when I got angry at my kids and I said, wow, I always thought I'm cool. Maybe I'm not. You know? So, it brings children a gift from God to raise us.
They expose us a little bit, don't they?
Jeff, in this day and age, you know, with our culture and our society and in our country kind of thing, you know, we're having more and more opportunities to succeed or fail in what we show. You know, and then like young couples with kids in the near, and not near future.
Not yet, but you know.
I'm saying, you know, I mean, young families coming up, you know, it's a different world.
Man, we have such an opportunity right now, don't we, to shine the light of God. And it's by living in a way that people notice what God is like. These traits are God's character. And then as we let people see that, well, man, they say, hey, I'm not like that. I want to get to know the God that could make somebody's heart like that, right?
It's purification time.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Jeff. Look, that darkness is rolling in. And one thing we're learning right now is darkness does hate light, doesn't it? And they're pretty militant about it, I'm going to tell you. But look, light overpowers the dark. We have the light of God to go
Shameless
share.
Plug for the men's group. This is kind of the stuff we're talking about, that's as Christians, the Holy Spirit is on the offensive. That's so much so, and he's so strong that the gates of hell won't prevail. So it's exactly. Not, we're on the defensive, but all this is offensive in nature.
Am I the only one in here that has this color book?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I will definitely, note taken. I will make sure to take another
note. About the numbers at the bottom of the pages.
Nope, I'm going to take another book. I kind of fumbled through that, sorry. Well, let's close in prayer and then we'll go. Father God, we just come to you. Lord, we're just humbled by the character that we see that you call us to live. And we know that is an impossible task on our own, but you haven't left us without. You have given us your Spirit, not a spirit that would cause us to be fearful, but instead a spirit that has given us power and would give us a mind that would be disciplined. And as we discipline our minds unto devotion to you, Lord, might we just be diligent and committed to study and study and study, not for somebody else, but for ourselves, Lord, so that you could reveal our hearts and bring change to us. And then, Lord, as we learn more and more about what you're like and how much you've loved us, well, Lord, might we just apply that? Might we just put it right to work? Might we be people of humility? And might people see joy in our lives? Might they see that we're not discontented? We have, of all people, are the most contented. So, Lord, we just ask you to work on us even as we study. Continue to do that. as you reveal yourself through this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.